All right, guys, we are here, still chapter one, but we're learning, right? We are learning. And last week, if you recall, there is one question, one thing that we stopped for a minute and paused to examine our hearts. If there is a turning point in our life, you know, if there are signs where God is telling us you are moving the wrong direction, you have been in the wrong place. This is not the place for you to be. And we said last week that it's good to examine our hearts. It's good to look for those signs and ask God to reveal them for us. You know, this is what David came to God to say, just reveal anything in me, examine my heart, search my heart, and reveal anything that's not from you. And how to Naomi, her husband died. Her kids are married now to Moabites. Maybe all of these things that are happening, maybe it would have been a sign for her to make that U-turn. And we can also take that and apply it to our lives and see what is it that we need God to reveal to us, or what is it that God revealed to us that we need to make the U-turn, the signs that God keeps giving us where we need to make a U-turn. As we shared last time and the time before, that this book is about restoration, is about God restoring. You know, there was a famine in the land. And what's strange is the famine was in the house of bread, the house of fulfillment, right? In the land that overflows with milk and honey. What happened? What happened? What happened is sin happened. You know, we heard about famine in the land before. We heard about many famines that happened in the Bible. But for the famine to happen here was a little bit strange, and it happened in other areas as well. It happened during David's time, Abraham's time. It happened to the Egyptians when Joseph was interpreting those dreams. It happened, but this one was a little bit different. But we hear in Judges 21, there is a key verse that says that everyone did whatever good in their own sight. No one was accountable to anyone. No one had accountability. No one had anyone to go back to and to disciple and to lead and any of that. Everyone did whatever they wanted, whatever they pleased, whatever seemed good, whatever felt good, they did it. And this is when the famine hit. And when the famine hit and when difficult times come, the answer isn't to run away. The answer isn't to fix the mistakes by making other mistakes. The answer is to come before God, because he promised, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, and return to me, I will hear them. I will heal them, and I will show myself to them. That's God's promise to us. You know, you and I are not perfect. None of us here are perfect. We make mistakes. We go through famine. We go through pain. We go through things. But it's not the way to this. The answer isn't to go further and further away from God. The answer is to return to God. Ali Malik here didn't do that. Ali Malik took his family, took his children, took his wife, and went to Moab, where it is very clear in the Bible, do not go to Moab. Do not marry from Moab. Do not be under covenant with Moab. But he went, and we see the result. He died, his children married Moabites, and then now his children are dead as well. As you can see, his fear from the famine is what? What's the worst that can happen to you? That didn't actually happen. Death. We hear about famines. Famines are very uncomfortable. Famine are very scary. Famines are horrible. And that feeling of insecurity where you don't know if food is coming or not. But you know what? When God is in the scene, even during famines, even during difficult times, God will provide. We see Ali Malik going away, fearing the worst case scenario that could ever happen. And the first thing that happens to him in Moab is what? Is death. Is death. I would take a famine in the presence of God over luxury anywhere else away from the presence of God. You know, what's that, Pastor Albert? فضلت الوقوف على أعتابك على أن أسكن مع خطوط القوم.
I prefer standing in your doorway rather than dwelling in the tents of the wicked.
There you go. But I think they understood the first version much better.
For sure.
So yes, I prefer being in the presence of God. I prefer, however it takes, when David sinned, that he had options. What are you going to do, David? You know what? I want one option and one option only. I'm going to throw myself in the hands of the Lord. But it's going to be painful, David. Yeah, that's fine. I prefer the pain that comes from God over the luxury that comes, any kind of luxury that comes away from being away from God. We see here, really quick, I want you to think about this, the difference between the pain that comes through our relationship with God and the pain that comes away from the relationship with God. The pain that comes from the relation while we're in a relationship with God, it's discipline and rebuke that leads us to lead us to change and repentance. Okay, when God disciplines us, when God rebukes us, when God even allows famine to our lives, this is to lead us to repentance. This to lead us to change. This to lead us to a better place with Him. So yes, I know you have sickness. I know you have things that are bothering you. I know you have difficulties in life. I know, like we were just talking about Brother Larry, like it's not easy to have that kind of surgery. It's not easy to go through these things. But you know what? We see God's hand during this time. And God can use that time to make us closer to Him, to get us closer, to know Him more, to love Him more, and to be changed more, to be more and more like Him. But the punishment and the pain that comes from the enemy, the reason for it is just destruction. Because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So when he puts us through pain, that pain is not to change us and make us better. That pain is to destroy us. There is a big difference. When we have pain and discipline and rebuke through God, it's all in love and balance. It's because He loves us. It's because He cares for us. It's because He sees that by strengthening us, by giving us these new experiences, we will be better at the end of it. It's because when He takes away all these things from our hearts, when He puts us through fire, when He puts us through difficult times, He wants to wash us. He wants to cleanse us from things that could be a lot more harmful than the pain that we're going through right now. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Can I get an amen to that? Because that happens. Because His love, that pain and the suffering with God is in love and balance. He knows how to balance it. He knows exactly when the famine is going to start and when the famine is going to end. He knows exactly when the pain is going to start, when the pain is going to end. He knows everything. And it's, again, all in love and in balance. But when the enemy gives pain, that pain is just under one thing and one thing only, to destroy us, because he simply hates us. It's coming from a place of hate. You know, there is a fight. I'm not sure if you're aware of this fight or not, but there is a much higher fight on this earth that are happening right now, because God put you and me. See, God put Adam and Eve, and I'm not trying to go back and away from this. I promise it's going to be really quick. But God put Adam and Eve to bring His glory back to this earth, right? That was stolen away in the garden. You know how, and I know how. It was stolen by eating from that fruit, by all that happened in the garden. But God, but then Jesus came to restore that, right? And you and I are here to take that kingdom back. You and I are here to spread the light back, okay? And the enemy doesn't like that. So he has it. He has this very personal fight between you and him, because you and I are after destroying his kingdom. You and I are here to finish the work that Jesus started, and that's to bring all these souls, to bring back the kingdom to God. So when he punishes us, it's all out of hate. He hates you and he hates me. And then finally, God's discipline to his children, because we are his children. So the pain that we go through, remember, we are his children. That pain does not break the covenant between us and God. It does not. It's actually because he loves us, because he cares for us, because he's so dear to us, because he has an inheritance for us As his children, he allows this pain. He allows the famine. He allows the things that we go through that are very uncomfortable, that are very painful. But it's important because we are his children. And because we are joining his suffering, we are going to also join in his what? In his glory. Amen?
Amen.
The enemy's pain is just to lead us to away from God. Okay? So I'd rather stay in the famine. I'd rather stay being the child of God. I'd rather God's discipline. I'd rather stay knowing that God's love is not going anyway and his balance is not going anyway, that he is the Alpha and Omega, as Delia always says, that when the famine started, when the famine is going to end, it's all his. It's all his timing. It's not my timing and it's not the enemy's timing. It is his timing. It is his timing. He has that balance in his hand. I'd rather stay in that famine. I'd rather stay in Judah and ask God to change me, work in me, and witness the great things that he's going to do. Amen? Okay, so that's the introduction. Today we're going to get into verse 6 really quick, and Dina can start that for us.
It says in verse 6, Ruth chapter 1, it says, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there.
All right, so the first thing that you see here, she heard that God came to the aid of his people, okay? Let me ask you a quick question here and ask yourself that question today, ask yourself that question tomorrow. Do others hear that God came to your aid? Do others hear your testimony? Do others hear that God came and provided for you? I wish Anna was here with us today. If you were here, where's Anna?
The A.
Oh, Anna! I didn't recognize you with the blue box.
Hello? Anyway. Are you talking about me?
Yes, see, I was about to talk about you, but I didn't know you were here.
I'm here.
You look different in a blue box. Anyway, so yes. Anna was sharing with us a couple of weeks ago an amazing testimony that she was praying for someone who's dear to her. She was fighting for it. She was, I think most of you were here. She was fighting for it. And finally, God listened and delivered. And God provided a great miracle. And that person was saved and now loving God. See, when I heard it that day, that story, truly, Anna, I didn't even know you were here. You know, but that story stuck with me because that's the good news I want to hear. And I also want to share with others. Naomi heard that God came to the aid of his people. I know each box here, each one of us, each family, I know you have a story where God came to your aid. I know that God came to help you in one situation or another. I know that God did something in your life that is worth sharing with other people. You know, every time I go to a gas station and go put in my card and to fill gas, I remember the days years ago when I started my business and we didn't have any money. We were broke. And I put in my card and wondering if there is going to be enough money to put gas or not. True story. I remember it every time I go to the gas station. Every time. And I feel like I want to go share with someone that one day I almost didn't know if I was going to able to put a dollar of gas or not because we didn't have any money. See, God was taking us through the famine. God was taking us through the difficult time, but God came to our aid. Just like God came to your aid. Just like God came to my aid one time at church when I was completely depressed because I heard that I needed another shoulder surgery. And the brothers and sisters prayed for me at church. And I'm challenging Brother Larry for a pull-up challenge right now. Like my shoulder is as strong as it can be. You know, I'm not bragging or anything, but this is what God did. God came to my aid. We can tell you here, these two that you're seeing in front of you that were always smiles, you have no idea what we've been through. Truly, you have no idea what we've been through, but God came to our aid. Amen. God is always coming to our aid. So she heard, but she heard. I don't know who told her. I don't know how she heard, but she heard. I'm telling you this right now. Someone tonight, someone tomorrow needs to hear that God came to your aid.
Yeah.
That God comes to the aid of those who call him. That God is near for to those who call after his name. That God is present and he is not far away. Someone needs to hear that testimony today.
No, you got it.
No, go ahead.
There's really not much more to say there. Remember that our testimonies are essential to the kingdom work. It's critical. And I'm not just talking about like our testimonies about how we got saved, but even I think we always just immediately assume that that's what it is. But even our testimonies as believers at every turn, there's something that you have that will encourage someone else. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. She was in Moab and her, I mean, they didn't have social media. There was no telegrams. There was really nothing. It was the word that she heard from someone, as Asam said, that encouraged her heart to the point of repentance. That's what happened here. Naomi is about to make that U-turn. Mm-hmm. Naomi is about to say, hey, God's doing something. I believe that he's doing something, and I believe it's not too late. I haven't, even though she's lost her husband, she's lost her children, but she's believing that she's about to make that U-turn. Mm-hmm. By today's terms, you could consider that Naomi and her family were really sort of backslidden, you know? And this was the moment that was the defining moment for her.
So. And you know, what's amazing here, as Dina just shared, that the news traveled to Moab. You know, the news traveled in places. Remember, Moab was a different country, a place that were not really close to the Israelites. Actually, they were enemies. So the news reached her when she was there. This is very encouraging to all of us because we have a lot of Moabites around us. We have a lot of people around us that don't share our faith, don't share our testimony, don't share our beliefs. That doesn't mean we stop the good news there.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean that we don't share with them, because something will say, I guarantee you, something you will say, something you will share that will touch their heart, that will be the breaking point. It will be the light that will bring them to Jesus and to bring them to God. We had a guest at our house about 3 weeks ago, and it was their first time coming to our house, and they were just very happy for us. It's first time coming to this house, and they were very happy for us. And we share the miracle of how God gave us this house. You know, we share it all the time without getting tired of it, because it was truly a miracle. We had no hand in this. Really, God gave us this as a gift. And we're not shy to share that with anyone and everyone, right? And when we shared it with them, as she was leaving, she was like, you know, I always felt like you guys have this connection with God. Okay, I always felt like you have this connection with God and he listens to you. And I feel like this was his way of answering your prayers. And that person is not even a Christian. She's not even from the Christian faith. But she said these words because we shared with her what God is doing in our lives, what God has been doing, not just in the material things, but in everything. You know, how God is providing for us and taking care of us. Just quick note, and then we'll move on. I wanna challenge you today to share your good news as much as at least you share your complaining news. You know, we're good at, you know, when someone asks us, oh, this is not great, this is that. It's okay, you know, we're okay to share our struggles, and that's fine, and that's okay. Really, it is completely okay. It's actually good for us to let it out, and maybe someone will encourage us. But my challenge to all of us, especially here us, is that we share our good news as much as, you know, if not a little bit more, then we share the challenging news. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord hath come. He's always near. He's always pursuing us to pursue him. God is always pursuing us to pursue him. In the book of Hosea, okay, it says, listen, Israel, take these words and say this to God. So God is giving us a cheat sheet, you know? Seriously, he is giving us, okay, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to you. Here is what you need to tell me. Tell me, Lord, forgive us for our sins. Accept us unconditionally. We have sins. I'm just, you know, paraphrasing. I'm saying it in my own language. But if you look in Hosea, you will find these words. Okay? You know, take us, Lord. We know we don't deserve it. Here is God pursuing us to pursue him. God knew that what led Naomi and her family out of God's presence was the famine, right? Now God is providing. God is giving food. God opened his doors and giving food and speaking her language for her to come back, for her to come and see that God still providing, God still in the throne. Even for a few moments, I have forsaken you, but now with great mercies, I will gather you again around me. Okay? God, I understand that sometimes it seems like he forsaking us. That's a verse, by the way, in Isaiah. It seems like he forgot about us. It seems like he doesn't care or he doesn't listen. But for a few moments, but with great mercies, with everlasting love, he will gather us around him again and again. God came to the aid of his people, not the strangers. You are not a stranger. I am not a stranger. God came to the aid of his people. Our sins, our iniquities, what can separate us from the love of God? We were just listening to this last week. What can separate us from the love of God? God's covenant with us is not broken. His rebuke, his pain, the suffering we go through does not break the covenant he has with us. He still calls us his people. And God is coming to the aid of his people. This is good news for you today. If you're still going through the suffering season, you are his people. Amen. Okay? God is looking down and he's saying, that's my peeps right there. I got them. You know, seriously, that's exactly what God is saying right now. These are my people. I care for them. But Lord, you're putting them through the furnace. Oh yeah, but I'm there with them too. Lord, you're allowing them to go through down to the lion's den. Oh yeah, I'll be there too. I'll change things. I'm just working things out for in them. I'm just helping them to get a little bit stronger. I'm just helping them to get a little bit, you know, faster and like quicker on their feet. I'm just helping them to get rid of a little bit of the things that are going to be very dangerous for them in the future. I want to make them I want to make them look more and more like me. We are his people. The good news that can encourage to others to return to God. She and her daughter, this good news that she heard was so encouraging that it didn't only encourage her, but it encouraged her and her daughter-in-laws. Okay? The good news that you received, I'm going to tell you this, don't be selfish with it. Don't be selfish with it. Someone very close to you needs to hear it. And this is an emphasize here in this verse that when they heard the good news, her not just Naomi, but her daughter-in-laws, who are not Israelites, who are not from Judah, who are Moabites, are believing that there's something great on the other end now, and they want to go after. This is good news. Do you believe in the power of good news? Do you still believe in the power of this news that changed your life and my life? That news is still there. God's still near. We are still his children. Whatever we go through, it's all working out for our best because he loves us and cares for us, and everything works together for our good.
All right, are you ready for verse 7? This is the U-turn right here. Says, with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Hallelujah. She is, Naomi is, that's it. She got to her wit's end. You know, it's interesting because death really is what got her to that place. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced some death in my life. I'm sure most of us here have, right? Maybe not just physical death of someone we love, but like the death of things in your life. And death is a really powerful tool that I think God can sometimes use, most of the time use, to help us reevaluate. It happens all the time when either reevaluate your personal state in life, where you are with God. I mean, I feel like funerals are great opportunities to share the good news because people are spending time reevaluating, right? I think Pastor Al could probably agree with that. Unfortunately, I'm sure you've had to do a funeral or two, right, Pastor Al? And I've been at a few of those. And let me tell you, Pastor Al uses that time as a time to discuss the good news because people are reevaluating. They're faced with their own mortality, and it's all of a sudden time to look back. And you know, this woman had a big loss. She lost both of her boys. I mean, as a mother, it breaks my heart.
And so losing a husband doesn't break your heart?
No, but there's some, of course that breaks their heart. Of course, of course.
Too late.
But there's something about losing your children that's just very, very unnatural.
Father's Day and you didn't even get recognized.
This meeting is over.
Okay, anyway, he digresses. The point is that death causes this thing in us to reevaluate. And that's what happened with Naomi. And she was like, you know what? I know I've lost a lot and I've come a really far way, but it's time to turn back. It's time to turn back. I have to wonder if Naomi had in that moment, not just a decision to turn back, but like regret, right? And that's actually a pretty healthy thing, I think, to have. Regret, though, we have to be careful with regret because regret can often be crippling. Sometimes we get into so much regret at mistakes that we've made or decisions that we've made that were not the right decisions that we become crippled and can't move forward. It's what we were talking about last week, right? That regret, based on what we did, makes us feel like, you know what? It's too late. Too much has been done. Too much water under this bridge. I can't do anything anymore. But Naomi here did not allow regret to cripple her. In fact, it allowed her to say, I'm starting new.
Yeah.
I'm heading back to Judah.
And, you know, as we can see that previously, Elimelech was very much calling all the shots. You know, we're moving from Judah to Moab. And then the boys chose to marry the Moabites. Now, as we see in verse 6, that she heard that God is doing something. God, you know, God came to the aid of his people. And we see here that change of heart because God is now calling the shots. God is the one that's directing the ship. And sometimes God allows things in our heart, in our life, where we get rid of the natural resources, the natural powers we had. If you were at church a couple of weeks ago when we were discussing Joseph was a great young man, right? Full of great promises, great things around in his father's house. But to become Joseph, the one who is going to be a picture or a symbol of Jesus, the one who is going to save the world from the famine that's about to come, he had to get rid of all these natural powers and strength and rely only on God's power and strength. So when he was interpreting those dreams, he was saying, who's interpreting the dreams? Was it Joseph? No, it was God that was interpreting the dreams. So we see here that before, Elimelech was the ones that's making the decisions for Naomi and her children. Now we see God is the one that's directing the ship. Okay, now Naomi is about to return back to Judah because what God is allowed, because of the things God is allowing because of the things that God is doing in her life and around her. So when severe things happen, when horrible, disastrous things happen, you can look at that and just see the disasters, or you can ask God, why don't you show me yourself and what you're going to do in this time? What you're going to do with what I'm going through right now. It's definitely, definitely uncomfortable. It's definitely painful. You know, if you go back to the eagles, when the eagle mama is preparing the nest for her babies, she makes that nest with some thorns that are pointing to the inside of the nest, not to the outside, to the inside. You know why? Because as these babies grow a little bit, get a little bit bigger and bigger and bigger, those thorns start doing what? Poking them. So what do? They start jumping out because it's very uncomfortable now, okay? So those thorns that we go through that make us jump out of the nest, the mama's still around. The eagle still doesn't know how to fly, but the eagle knows now it is so uncomfortable, I can't stand it here, I must jump. And they jump. And the first jump might not go great, but the mama goes down and picks them up on her wings. The second jump might be a little bit better, but one after another, they learn how to do what? They learn how to fly. You know, the thorns are there. Trust me, the thorns are there. And it's going to be uncomfortable, and you're going to have to take that jump. And just know, while it's painful, while it's pushing you to jump, God is there to catch us every single time. Amen. Then you can see her here, leaving just like those eagle baby eagles. Now she's leaving that place of living comfortably, the place that she thought was the comfort place for her. Now we see her leaving that place of death, that place. Can you imagine if those eagles continued living there and just let the thorns go inside of their bodies? They're going to be dead. They have to get out. Naomi, like those eagles, has to get out. She has to leave this place. She has to leave the life that someone chose for her, and now she's going after the life that God can do for her. She left the place of dependency on man to go back to depend on God. She left living by sight to go back to living by faith. She left the place of everything is green, everything looks pretty, everything looks, you know, fine, to the place where I'm just waiting for the rain. That's what Israel was all about. They waited for the rain. Where does the rain come from? From above. Just like the psalmist said, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. See, Naomi has to leave that place. I am speaking that in Jesus' name on all of us. There is a place we must leave. I don't know what it is, but there is a place that we must leave. If you have a pen and paper, please write these questions and discuss them with someone today. Please. If not, just go back and listen to this and just, you know, write them down. What will it take for you to move out of this place? This place that we're talking about, the place you know God doesn't want you to be there. The habits, the relationships, the thing that you know God does not want you to be there. The thought life, whatever it is, there is something in your life and there's something in my life where God does not want us to be there. What will it take? Is it going to take the death of someone? It's going to take some pain? And what is it going to take? Bring it before God today. Take a few minutes and write the places or the things that God wants you to move out of. Write them down. I know, like Dean and I have been fasting for the last few months. And honestly, we've been fasting about the same things. We've been fasting about the same things and we've been bringing them to God. We're doing much better, but we still see that we need still a little bit more help in these areas. And then write the things that you can lose if you continue living in this place. And then finally, ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth it, Naomi? Was it worth it to move out of Judah? Remember, you lost your husband, you lost your two children. Was it worth it? Was that pain that there is no return from easier than the pain of being in the famine and losing your children, since the children are more important than the husband, and losing your husband? I'm telling you, this is not going to be great after the Bible study. We're gonna need to do some fasting for this one. So verse 8, let's move on.
Okay, verse 8, it says, then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. And may the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. There are a couple of interesting points about this verse. Notice in verse 8, she says, to your mother's home. She doesn't refer to it as your father's home in a culture where the father is obviously the head of the home. And it appears that the reason why that is, or one of the reasons why that is, seems to be that Naomi really considered them daughters to her. She was releasing that sort of motherhood from her heart to hopefully the hearts of their own mothers. And so there's a real deep connection, obviously, that we see Naomi has with these girls. The other thing is that she refers to the Lord here twice, once in verse 8 and then again in verse 9. And really, this is the Hebrew for Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God that she knows to be true. And she's bringing the word of God into the lives of these girls. She's speaking it over their lives. Remember, they're Moabites. These are not of the same faith. They're not of the same culture. They are really far from that, but she speaks here the name of God over them. She knows that and understands that every provision she may have had in Moab must have been God's hand over them. And she knew that a greater future was available to them as they returned. And so she kind of calls forth the name of the Lord in their lives.
And we see the progress also of Naomi. When we study these chapters later on, we will see how she is pushing Ruth to go after Boaz. And she just tells her, just go be in his presence and he will get everything done. You know, she's not there yet. And it's okay. It's okay. She's not there. She's not at that point yet. Right now, she's speaking out of emotions. She's speaking out of, I have no ability to care for you. I have no money left. I have no children left for you to marry. She is speaking completely and totally out of emotion. You and I can look back at this and say, no, it's a better idea to bring them to the land of Judah, to bring them to God's presence, and God will provide for you and for them. That's what you and I would say right now at this point, right? But when we speak about emotions, when we're speaking in the middle, sometimes we didn't see the whole picture. Okay, we see that I don't have the ability to care for them. That's emotions. That's not faith. I don't have anyone to marry them. Again, that's emotions. That's not faith. Okay. They're Moabites. They're not going to be accepted in Israel. Again, that's emotions based on facts. Again, all of these are based on facts. I'm not saying these are not true. These are all based on facts, but they're not based on faith. Okay? Because the faith that we have in God can see something that we don't see right now. See, Abraham went and offered Isaac on the altar, was about to slaughter his own son. How? Because he believed that God can do what? Resurrect. Okay, you and I can speak about resurrection because we've heard about it for the last, you know, many, many, many years, hundreds and maybe thousands of times. But let me ask you, how and where did Abraham hear about resurrection? Nowhere. There is nowhere. But he heard about God. He had a relationship with God. He knows God. See, you and I might not know where and how and when and what. You know, we might not know all the facts. We might only know the facts that we have. I cannot care for you, your Moabites. I cannot bear more children. I cannot provide for you, so please go back home. Right? Or all I have are 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish, or the other way around. What is that going to do to 10,000 or 20,000 people? That's what I know. That's what you know. That's what I see. That's what you see. But that's not faith. Let's not get emotions and faith mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay? Because these are completely different things. You and I can look back and at those two girls and say, you know what? I don't have the money. I can't care for you. You are Moabites. And the situations here are very, very difficult. But I know the same God who came to the aid of his people can come to your aid as well. Okay? I want to challenge us today as a church and as the people of God to take that step of faith, that we can see something that others don't see. Okay? And she brings the name, as Dina just said right now, she brings the name of God to their lives, knowing and trusting in his kindness. But they're Moabites. Yeah, but God is God. But they are not Christians. Yeah, but God is God. I'm not looking at them right now. I'm not looking at what they learned. I'm not looking at where they live, how they lived. I'm not looking at who they are. I'm looking at who God is. Okay? My prayer and our challenge for today is, instead of looking at situations, instead of looking at facts, we look at God and what he can do.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 10. Can you believe it? We're in verse 10, everybody. This is it. This is where we're stopping. Verse 10. And then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." This is an example of the very active and real work of a person who is drawing other people. Mm. Something that whatever Noemi's actions were in the last 4 verses that we just saw, or 5 verses that we just went through, her desire to turn. Her hearing the testimony, right, that we talked about, the good news, and then she clings on to that good news, and then she says, "I'm going to turn from this place." Based on that good news, she professes the name of the Lord. These are all things that happen in like 5 verses, right? Mm-hmm. This causes them to want to go with her. And so as we've been talking about testifying and repenting and turning back to God, the natural progression of that is, guess what? These girls want to go with her. It's a witness. It's a living witness,
yep,
of a decision that I made. And look, Noemi's only like minutes into this decision, but there's something that happened here, combined with the fact that it seems like Noemi was really, really close to them. And they loved her very deeply. And she was like a mother to them, even though they were foreign women. And they want, there is an active witness here, and they want in this moment to be a part of what she has to offer or what she's about to do.
You know, one of the greatest things that we can do in this world is to love on people, really, to love on people with the same love that God has showed us. That's the greatest thing, that one of the greatest things that we can use as a witnessing tool, as an evangelism tool, you know, opening our homes, opening our hearts for people who don't look like us, who don't, you know, necessarily believe in the same things we believe in, open a door for them. Stay who we are. I'm not saying changing our beliefs. I'm not saying lower our standards, but just loving on people and sharing the good news that, that Naomi was just sharing with her daughters, that God came to the help or to the aid of his people, that there is good news with our God. You know, I was talking to someone recently, again, not in the faith, not even close, you know, and I said, I know who I was before God and who I am now with God. I know what my life looked like, what a miserable and hopeless life I was living away from God. And I know the life I have right now with God. And all I want to do is just have other people experience that. That's all I want for you. You take it from there with God. Whether you wanna, you know, you have arguments about this or that, you take it up with him. But all I can testify to you right now, or I can tell you right now, that I was living such a miserable and hopeless life that I actually tried to take my own life several times as a teenager. As a teenager, lived in a life I was completely under demonic authorities, completely under demonic authorities. And God came to my aid, and God changed my life, and God did something in my life. That's all I want to do. That's, I just want to share that with you. I just want to share that I know someone who can help. I know someone who can release. I know someone who can heal. I know someone that can change things around. I know someone that can deliver. I know him. I know him. I've experienced it. I'm living with them. I talk to him every single day. And I know he can do the same with you. I'm not going to argue with you about this or that. I'm not going to argue with you about any of the things that we put in between us. I'm just going to bring this up to you, that I know you need him just the same way I needed him. That's lately, that's have been my witnessing tool. Just sharing how miserable I was and how happy I am right now that I gave my life.
Okay. So with that, we have a few minutes left. We're going to open it up to some discussion and questions about what we've been through here. We kind of went through a lot of big subjects here, but it was all sort of in the same flow of what was happening in Noemi's life. So unmute yourselves. Feel free to discuss or ask questions or... Maria Raul, are you saying something? I think you're on mute. If you are. Oh, you're not? Okay.
Some water.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier was that it's better for us to be in the famine with God than to be in the leisure and whatever the world offers. And I 1,000% agree with that. But the question that I have is, then how do I survive the famine as I'm waiting for God to intervene in my life?
Very good.
Great question. Anybody want to take that on?
Pastor Albert? We only give him the tough questions. No, this is a good question, open for discussion. This is an excellent question.
I don't know.
I thought Erwin was going to say something because he unmuted.
Say something.
Were you going to say something?
No.
Oh, he wasn't. Okay, never mind.
Metiche.
Okay.
I'll throw my 2 cents in and let's see where this leads. I love this study because it's a very practical application.
Yeah.
There is a time to listen. There is a time to speak. And there is a time to believe. And you see all of that in these scriptures that we just studied. Mm. When we are led of God's Spirit, and we know that he is leading us, then we don't worry about tomorrow. Now, I'm going to say this not to be racist, but in my culture, we, and I like to say tortillas, I call it cowboy bread. You give me some cowboy bread and some beans and I'll survive any famine you got. That's the simplicity of how we can go. And I remember many a times in growing up where all we had was just bread and some sugar and water. And yet we were able to sustain. So very early, without me even knowing about the true and living God, that is very much ingrained in my spirit. Now, we know when we are obedient and are being led of God. Another example. God healed both of my knees twice. The third time he didn't, I don't question it. I just know I had to go to the doctor and bam, I got metal. Same thing with my shoulder. I knew. For whatever reason, thank God for doctors. By faith, hey, God is leading me to go and everything's going to be all right. Now, is there struggle during these times? Of course. But you know what? In looking as to my recovery from a 71-year-old, the surgery that I had, I'm not doing that bad. Now, I'm not going to say that it's not an inconvenience, because that's another story altogether. But the actual application of knowing when to listen, knowing when to speak, and knowing when to believe is, I think, very powerful in these scriptures, and it'll get us through any testing that God wants us to go through. I'm not talking about satanic and demonic activity. Mm-hmm. That I have authority over in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. But I am of God, and he is leading me down a path that has purpose, just like he led me to arise. I showed my brothers, I showed Pastor Al, I showed Brother Isam when God spoke about Arise to me. And it was way before Arise ever came on the scene. Mm-hmm. That's how much confidence I have that I am in the right place at the right time. Now, what was happening in my life? Oh, there were a whole bunch of things that were going on. But once again, through the storms, God allows us to survive and go through it because he carries us when we can't take that next step. I like this study. Time to listen, time to speak, and a time to believe.
Thank you, Brother Larry. That's excellent.
I think one of the things that are helpful also, in addition to having a time to listen and a time to speak and so on, is looking back at the previous famines that I've been brought through, because we're using a famine as a metaphor for hard times, difficult, challenging times, right? And who doesn't go through challenging times, whether it's a challenge in your health or in your job or in your family situation or finances or whatever? All of us can say, yeah, I've been through A and B and C and D, but looking back, God has brought me through. And the same God who was faithful in that process, he hasn't changed.
That's right.
And he provided for us back then. And I may be facing a challenge today. He's going to continue to provide whatever the need may be. So I think setting up those markers is really, really important. The way that Joshua did with the people when they crossed the Jordan, they put up those markers to remind them, hey, God was with us on this journey. So we can always look back and say, yeah, he helped us back then. He's going to be faithful today.
So another thing as well is there's always something to be thankful for. Mm. Yeah, there's just something. If everything is wrong, I can be thankful that I woke up this morning and it's a brand new day with brand new beginnings. Yeah. You know, so I need to be in, what's the word?
Intentional.
In looking at things that are very specific that I can be grateful. And you know what? There's nothing that God tells us that's not for our benefit. So when God tells us to come before him with a heart of thanksgiving, it's not that he's waiting for us to say thank you for all that you've, which he deserves all our thanks, right? With everything that he's done. But in turn, as I am looking for things to be thankful, that actually changes me. It changes the way I see things. It changes my attitude. It changes the way I view life. And so nothing that God tells me to do isn't for my own benefit. So I've got to have this grateful heart as I am in the process of waiting for God through a famine. That's one thing.
And can I just add one last thing? I think praying through it, the more we pray in any season, through the famine season, through the prosperity season, I actually find it easier to pray during the famine season. But praying and being connected with God is always, always revealing to what God is doing, the reason for what I'm going through, and the hope that I have that this is going to be for my best, that this is going to be for my benefit, that something great is going to happen because of this famine, that something great is going to happen because of this illness, yeah, because of this work trouble, because of this or that. And I find that, and when I hear it directly from God while I'm communicating with him through prayers, that makes all the difference in the world. I think I shared with you guys a few weeks ago, I had shingles, and it was truly one of the most painful things I've ever had, really. But not being anything, I'm just saying this for the glory of God and only the glory of God. You can ask Dina, it was some of the best time of my life. Truly, it was some of the best time of my life. Spiritually, I had so much faith, you could not take the smile away from me, because I was in constant prayers. While I couldn't sleep for more than an hour, but I was in constant prayers. And every time I prayed, I heard God more louder than the time before, that this is going to be great. Something great is going to come out of this, that you will be much better at the other end of this. Pastor Edwin was like, no. You probably had shingles. No, I'm guessing. Okay, there you go.
only people that have shingles say that, by the way.
Yeah, so it was horrible. It was difficult. But through prayers and through the way out, and I'd like to say that my way out was God and Dina. That was my way out. You know, it was the support that I had, the faith that God gave. That amount of time we spend praying and communicating with God, it just made the pain almost disappear and made me look forward to something that's happening that truly took my attention away from the pain that was actually happening in my body. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but praying through the famine, praying through the struggle, I found it, and I find it some of the best tools to use to deliver us from those things.
Yeah, and I'll just, I know he said this was the last thing, but I promise this will be the last thing. I know it's 8:03.